I fear. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me, to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing have I asked of the Lord,
that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord
all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
Defiled with blood,
and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue mutters wickedness. For your transgressions are multiplied before you, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and we know our iniquities, transgressing and denying the Lord, and turning back from following our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart lying words. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from 2 Timothy, chapter 2. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Mark chapter 8. And Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they told him, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, and others one of the prophets." And he asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he strictly charged them to tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. And he said this plainly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and seeing his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And he called to him the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his life?" O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Passion Account of St. Mark, 14th chapter. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "We will all fall away, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." And Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed, and the servant girl saw him, and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Deliver me, O Lord, my God, for you are the God of my salvation.
Protect me from those who rise against me.
In you, O Lord, do I put
2 weeks ago, we looked at and through Judas's betraying eyes and recognized our own betrayals of the Lord. Last week, we saw the disciples' sleepy eyes in the Garden of Gethsemane and identified the times we have fallen asleep as Christians. This week, we examine other ways sinful eyes can fail as we examine the denying eyes of Peter, of the other apostles, and even of all of us. Back in the upper room, the 11 apostles and Jesus had sung a post-communion hymn and then headed for the Mount of Olives. There were only 11 with Jesus because Judas had already departed to get staged for his betrayal. Jesus told the group they would all fall away in fulfillment of Zechariah 13:7. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Their proud spokesman Peter, though thought he was exempt from this, saying to Jesus, "Even though they all fall away, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But Peter said emphatically, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said the same. They all said the same. Not just Peter, but they all tried to exempt themselves from his saying and deny that they would fall away from Jesus, which was very foolish. They were denying the words from the lips of Jesus and the inspired and inerrant word of God recorded by the prophet. You've probably heard the song "Lion Eyes" by the Eagles. Even though you try and disguise your intent with a smile, the songwriter tells us it is not enough to hide lying eyes. If our eyes give away lies to one another, then how much more can the omniscient Lord Jesus see lying and deny it in the eyes of his disciples of all times and places? What was in the eyes of the apostles as they looked upon Jesus, predicting their falling away from him? Perhaps first a look of horror at such an awful prospect, then a look of disbelief as they processed his saying and began to form their defense, and then a slightly crazed look of a religious fanatic who thinks he can keep his vows to God simply by fervor, by his own force of will. Yes, the eyes of the apostles weren't really seeing Jesus and letting the truth of his word sink into their ears. They were blinded by their own strong delusions. They were lying to themselves as they were denying their Lord's words. They were focused on their own perceptions and plans. They had their minds on the things of men rather than on the things of God. So the other 10 apostles would go on to deny Jesus by falling away, in spite of their strident protests to the contrary. And we see Peter verbally deny Jesus in dramatic fashion during his cross-examination by a little servant girl and some bystanders. But as we saw last week, with Jesus alone staying awake while the others slept, it had to be this way. He had to be the last one standing, the only one making the good confession, the one who would never deny the will of his Father, humbly submitted to suffering and death for us and for our salvation. When Jesus had quoted the prophecy of Zechariah, he had actually added a couple words to it that I left out earlier. He said, "I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." This is a quote from the Lord God of Israel himself. "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who stands next to me," declares the Lord of hosts. "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." Who is the man who stands next to the Lord? Jesus. He is the one against whom the Father bids the sword awaken. "I will strike the shepherd," says the Father. It's just like we heard a couple weeks ago, that the one who ultimately handed Jesus over wasn't Judas, but the Father himself. Or as we heard last week, it was the Father's will that Jesus drink the cup of his wrath in full, emptying its last drop. That takes us back to Isaiah 53. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed." "I will strike the shepherd," said the Father, and Jesus was stricken with all of that for you. But that's not all. Earlier, focused on Jesus' words about the disciples falling away and denying Jesus, but I left out the gospel. Jesus told them they would all fall away, but then he said, "But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." His words about their falling away and denial did prove true, but even better, so did his prediction of the resurrection and his subsequent appearing to the apostles. To these denying and doubting apostles, Jesus entrusted the teaching and baptizing that would go out to all nations and turn deniers of God into confessors, into followers of Christ empowered by the Holy Spirit. And what about Peter, who had fallen in so spectacular a fashion, who had denied that he even knew Jesus? First, I should point out that he seems to have been the only one with the courage to even get close to Jesus and his trial. So there's really no room for Peter bashing here. Second, we think we would never do such a thing. But how many times have we stood by silently when someone spoke words contradicting our Lord's words? How many opportunities to confess the gospel to others have we passed up for fear of giving offense? And finally, we should recognize in Peter an example to follow of the way he expressed his contrition over what he had done. Unlike Judas, who did have a change of heart, but tried to deal with his guilt on his own, Peter had true godly sorrow over his sin, which prepared him for the absolution he would receive on Easter, when Jesus appeared to the apostles, showed them his hands and side, and spoke the forgiving words, "Peace be with you." And later on, in Galilee, Peter got a special singling out that left no doubt he was restored from being a denier and was placed into the office of confessor. At the Sea of Tiberias, Jesus showed up for a breakfast on the beach with some of the disciples, including Peter. Jesus gave Peter a threefold admonition to feed his sheep, which negates Peter's threefold denial. And then, "Follow me," Jesus said to the restored Peter. And now he says the same to you. "If anyone would come after me," Jesus says, "let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul?" Through your baptism into Christ, you have been given a gift greater than the whole world. You have lost your life in this world for the sake of Christ, and have now found yourself, your life, in him and his kingdom, where you are saved from sin, death, and hell. You now look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. "Come, follow me," Jesus says. "Come, for it is a truly joyful journey." In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us rise and sing the song of Mary, Magnificat.
Let my prayer rise before you as incense.
And the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has regarded the lowliness of his handmaiden.
us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, hear my prayer,
and let my cry come to you.
Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that our sins of thought, word, and deed deny your lordship over us. Forgive us all our sins and give us strength each day to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow you. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Almighty and everlasting God, despise nothing you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create in us new and contrite hearts, that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you full pardon and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, our Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. O God, from whom come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just works, give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness. Through Jesus Christ, our Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Let us bless our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, be with you all.